Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
630 CHED and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca.
On Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you on Oilers Now, which has been brought to you by Digitex for the last seven-plus seasons. Digitex and Digitex.ca, Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. This text comes in from Fred. He says, Bob, what, no COVID updates on today's show yet? All right, I'll give you a number for you, courtesy of COVID-19tracker.ca. Currently, Canadians 12-plus that have received at least one dose, up to 79.45%. And then percentage of Canadians 12-plus that are fully vaccinated at 53.53%. Now, overall, Canada is at 46.6% of percentage of Canadian population that's fully vaccinated. Again, 12-plus, because kids 0 to 12 aren't approved, 53.53%. The United States is at 48%. Canada is now up to 46.6%. We are going to pass the U.S. In percentage of the population fully vaxxed in the next couple days, which is amazing because they had a three-month head start on us regarding the vaccination process. So, there are some numbers there for you. You can reach us at any time in the River Cree Resort Casino. It's hotline at 780-496-0063. The province is back up and at them, and so too is the River Cree Resort and Casino. All their various establishments in-house, and they got Platinum Blonde. Is that who they got coming down the pipe here? Did I see that somewhere? I'll give you a list of some of their shows coming up a little bit later on over the course of the next little while. I better get this right because I'm going to be mad if I... Yeah, I'll work my way around it. Here we go. We will tell you that, yes, they've got Platinum Blonde coming July 31st at the River Cree Resort and Casino. Future acts will include April Wine, REO Speedwagon, and a Eagles tribute band. I guess they'd have some challenges putting that band back together these days, to go, to say the least. All right, you can text us at any time on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Ashley Fine Floors, providing winning results for over 35 years. We're on Twitter at Oilers Now. You can tweet me personally, Bob_Stauffer, and Brendan Escott at Brendan with two E's, Escott with two T's. I do want to tell you that you have an opportunity, if you consider yourself to be a golfing fan or a person that just loves the sport. They've got a golf trip coming up with New West Travel, VIP golf trip, which will take place in the middle of September. Unfortunately, I cannot attend, as that is the start of rookie camp for the Oilers in the middle of September. But it is a four-day golf getaway in the spectacular mountains of Whistler, BC. Actually, you don't want me attending because I'm the worst golfer alive. This spectacular package takes place in the mountains of Whistler. Package includes airfare, a private WestJet charter, complimentary open bar, meals, three nights in a deluxe suite hotel, four rounds of five-star golfing in the coastal mountains, and a New West Travel golf tournament with prizes. All transfers could book now and get a free upgrade on a one-bedroom suite. To book your tee time, call New West Travel or go online at newwesttravel.com. We bring aboard one of the two Oilers radio play-by-play voices this season and for next year as well. We welcome back to the show Cam Moon. Cam, how you doing?
Doing very well.
Yeah? Hey, now, I have some theories on golfers, okay? First of all, I would never denigrate guys that are really good at golf because I think you need an incredible amount of mental discipline to be good at that sport. You know, there's some technique. It's not necessarily because you have to, you know, maximize your level of intensity on swings and be efficient and all those sort of things. There's other sports that maybe... people say, well, golfers aren't athletic. And I'd say, well, it just takes different sort of athleticism to be successful at it. The other thing I'd say is you need to golf a fair amount in your I would think, in your 20s and 30s. I don't think you could just pick it up in your 40s and 50s and get a lot better. Am I wrong on that? Like, you're a guy that golfs once in a while. Do you think you can improve, or do you think that if you have a little bit of a base with it, generally speaking, you can be pretty good at it?
I think that's it's all skill. You're right. A lot of it is between your ears, but it's skill. You can't, much like baseball, you can't play harder. You have to just keep working on skill. I think you can pick that up later, but you have to golf a lot. Like, if you didn't do it a lot, like in your teens or your 20s, and you're taking it up at 40 and 50, there's no doubt in my mind you can become very good at it if you have athletic ability and if you have the ability to be strong between the ears so you don't get in your own way, so to speak. So I think you can, but it is something that, well, much like anything, I guess, you have to work at it and work at it pretty hard to get good. I respect people that can golf well. I golf occasionally, but for me, it's more about the people I'm golfing with. It's the social aspect of it more than anything. The actual golf part, I can take or leave.
Yeah, I maybe do one or two. Like this year, Specs got his tournament on July 28th, which is the opening day of free agency. Like, I got to be honest with you, I would rather host a sports show and talk about hockey than go golfing. That's just the way I am. Like, that's just how I'm wired. I just, you know, I'm just not the type of, and that said, Cam, I don't, I no longer skate on a regular basis either.
Yeah.
Some would say it's because I'm too fat, but the reality is that I don't have time for it with our travel schedule during the course of the season and the games and the volume of work that we have. But in terms of, like, people said, well, why don't you take a month off in the off season and golf? And I'm like, why in the hell would I do that?
Why would I do that? Exactly.
I mean, I got to talk about the toy department of life, as Bryn Griffiths used to say. Even when there's some exasperation and frustration and not everybody agrees, with why certain moves happen. You saw Duncan Keith all the way back in junior when he was with the Kelowna Rockets. This guy's been a good player for a long time. From your perspective, is there any way to underscore the importance, especially given how limited the Oilers were depth-wise in defense when push came to shove against Winnipeg? Is there any way to underscore the importance of adding a little bit of experience?
No, this is a great move. And I heard the texter earlier who said on Calgary radio there are a lot of former players that were really in favor of this from the Oilers' perspective. I have talked to some former NHL players, and every one of them is exactly the same, that the Oilers are adding not just a great presence within the room, which they most certainly are. Right? You just look at the pedigree. It's amazing. But you're adding a guy that is going to be a top four defenseman, had to be, you know, a top 1-2 guy on a team that struggled, but will be in, a much better position going into this year. You add a guy like that, and yeah, you take some cap hit. You don't take actual dollars hit, but you take some cap hit on that. But you add something that you desperately needed. And you had said it earlier that you're only on the hook for 2 years, too. So, like, it's not like you had to eat a bunch of term. And you trade it for a guy like Caleb Jones, who may turn out to be a good NHLer, but he's not an established NHLer yet, as we saw in the playoffs. So I think it was this fair value. I think Chicago gets something out of this. What they get is a bit of cap relief and a potential player. And the Oilers get what they need. It is a top four defenseman. When he was in Kelowna, after he'd come back from Michigan State, he had gone to Michigan State on scholarship, but for whatever reason, didn't stay there, came back to the Western League, was part of the WHL championship team in 2003, of which the Red Deer Rebels, who I was broadcasting for at that time, played in the WHL final. It was an amazing series that went six games. And you could just see the poise and the skill level and the compete level in this guy. And that hasn't waned one bit over the course of his career. So from an Oilers perspective, this makes nothing but sense. I think he, and I, you know what? I guess we'll just find out, won't we? Like, we'll see here in the fall. Yeah. But I don't doubt that he is going to be a great asset to this team.
Well, from a philosophical perspective, a two-year contract to me is less of a concern than 7-8 years. But there's also a little bit of a window right here, right now. And where I'm going, this is the news of the day, and that involves Zach Hyman.
Yeah.
The fact that the Leafs have granted teams permission to talk to Todd Reynolds, the agent. And I believe he's likely to get overpaid and overtermed based upon the market, because I think there's not much interest in the player. Is that just a byproduct of doing business?
Yes. 'Tis the season. Like, when you, that's what happens in the summer. When you get a guy like Hyman, who's been, he's played well, and he's coming off some good seasons here. He's shown that this guy competes at a high level. His willingness to go to the net, to win battles along the boards, to do all these things, makes him a coveted top six forward. So with as many teams as he have that will be vying for his services, it no different than if a house comes on the market and you've got five different interested parties. Somebody's going to overpay for this thing, because that's just the nature of it, or overterm it, or better yet, even both. That's a very real possibility, and much to the success and to the benefit of Zach Hyman to be in this position. He put himself in this position, though, because he's played as well as he has. So it's, if that's the guy you really, really want, and you're sold on this, whichever NHL team that may be, whoever gets the bid is going to be paying a little more than they probably expect, and probably having a year or two more than they probably expect.
This text comes in. It's a Saskatchewan prefix. It says, Bob, just catching up on the show, but if it were me, I'd stop listening to anybody that says Zach Hyman is a better player than Taylor Hall. That's insanity. Hyman is David Clarkson 2.0, Lucic, Neil, Brower. This isn't going to end well. And again, I personally am a little leery on I'm not leery when Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl come out of entry-level contracts and sign 8-year deals. I'm elated when that happens. I am a little bit leery when you get to guys at 28 getting 7- or 8-year deals. I do think Hyman's a different player than Clarkson or Lucic. I think those two are quite similar. Neil's not as tough as those two guys, probably a little bit better pure scorer. Troy Brower, hardworking guy. I think he got a 4x4-something deal. Zach Hyman, you think Chris Kunitz is a good comparable, do you think?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, somebody's going to pay him quite a bit, and they're probably going to have more years on there than they absolutely want.
All right.
It's risky.
Cam, you mentioned the baseball. Now, I have sort of lost my passion for baseball. Full disclosure, I bumped into a buddy. Went out and met a buddy last night for a drink at a Southside establishment, and a guy that works in our business, and put a call into you, and you were attending. Where were you last night?
I was watching the Edmonton Prospects play the Sylvan Lake Gulls in Sherwood Park. That's where I was.
Okay. Maybe explain to our listeners this love and passion you have for ball.
I've loved baseball my whole life. Played it all the way up in Northeast Edmonton. Coached it for 12 years in Red Deer. And my son still plays. He's over in Austria playing baseball. He played 4 years of college baseball after he was done high school. And yeah, there was actually a few kids on the Sylvan Lake team that I coached, so I wanted to go see them play. And I know their head coach quite well. He's a former Division I player at Gonzaga, Jason Chatwood. He is from Innisfail, and he's doing a great job with the Gulls program. I can't wait till the Edmonton Riverhawks are playing, because then I can just walk over to the games. So I've loved it my whole life, and I follow the MLB. You know, not like super, super close, but I certainly watch games. But like locally, I like to see games, and I like to get out there and help out too, throw some BP or hit some ground balls or whatever the case may be.
And I know we've privately discussed this. I kind of lost a little bit of my passion for baseball after the lockout of 94. You know what I mean? The fact that the Expos were leading the league that year in the National League. It was sort of the last hurrah for Montreal. And I just, I was leading my fantasy baseball pool that year. The guy who had the money in the pool decided to get back with his wife who was working over in England, so he disappeared. You know what I mean? It was just like, I've never really gotten back into it, Cam. It sort of got replaced by college football for me at that time. Like, I just, you know what, if I'm going to, and a little bit soccer. And how does your son end up, like, Austria made it into the Euro. They got a player named Alaba that plays with Alfonso Davies in, at least I still think he's in Bayern Munich. He's been there the last several years. How does your boy end up playing over in Austria? I didn't even know they had baseball.
And neither did I. I don't know. Two summers ago, he played in Germany, and then he played a winter in Australia just before COVID hit. And I don't. He has made all sorts of contacts and has certainly networked well and has somehow parlayed this baseball thing into something right now. So, yeah, he says it's great. He's just outside of Vienna and says it's wonderful there.
Awesome stuff, Cam. Thanks for joining us, my man.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
That's Cam Moon, one of the Oilers 2 radio play-by-play voices. It's 1:21. We're going to take a quick break. We got some catching up to do on today's show, including the Oilers Now injury report, and we're going to be talking a bit about Shea Weber. And then we'll get into the Oilers Now prospect report for Scott, Arthur, Millwork, and Cabinetry. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott joining you on Oilers Now.
Hi, this is Leon Draisaitl from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Well, that one worked out, didn't it? Welcome back, everybody. It's 1:23 at Edmonton. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. Tyler has texted us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Bob, I've golfed with you. Your golf swing is terrible. Confirmed. Yes, Tyler, the only thing worse than my golf swing was your perspective on asset managing the cap. So take it for what it's worth. All right, let's get to it. We are going to start with the Oilers Now injury report for James H. Brown. Injury lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Trent Brown, Jim Brown, the gang, and James H. Brown, they want you to stay safe and stay positive.
So Shea Weber is seeming less and less likely to play again in the NHL. He's got foot and ankle problems he's been dealing with for a couple seasons by the sounds of it. He had surgery on the tendons in his ankle March of 2018, and then again that summer on his meniscus in his right knee. So these are ongoing issues for him in the lower body. He could go on long-term injured reserve, of course, but if he chooses to retire, the Predators have this cap recapture penalty, and so severe that it looks like it's going to cause a grievance between the NHL and the Players Association, because I can't remember the exact number, Bob, but essentially it crunches like the multiplication is a lot. So Nashville would be seriously hurt if the Sycamos BC native who turns 36 next month does decide to call it a career.
Hall of Fame player in your opinion? He is for me.
Yeah, I think he's done. So he's got to lift a cup, but yeah, I think he's done enough.
Northside Sam has texted the show to say, Bob, David Alaba was a longtime Bayern Munich left back. His injury 2 years ago was the reason why Alfonso Davies, got a chance to play left back instead of his striker position that he played in Vancouver. Fonzie basically took his spot, but Alaba is a great player. Pretty sure he's going to Real Madrid this upcoming season. I'll take Alfonso Davies talk all day from Northside Sam. Isn't Alfonso out right now for Canada? Did he not suffer ligament damage? And he ended up going back into Bayern. Of course, yesterday, Lionel Messi signed a 5-year extension. Did we have anybody, by the way, answer who broke Tim Hunter's ankle in a line brawl? I don't know if anybody got the answer on that one. Now I'm going to have to go check. You can text us. Somebody said Doug Glatt. It was not Doug Glatt. Chad Beagle, who was a former WHL player, Swift Current, played at the University. I think, now is Chad Beagle the one that played at Saskatchewan? Chad, if I mixed up the Beagles, that's all right. Tony was a great friend of mine. That video is still hard to watch. Chad adds, love the Duncan Keith trade. Yeah, Tony Mulhagan got knocked out cold one time in a scrap. in a scrap with Zdeno Chara. We've talked about this. Tony's in town. He's either a police officer or a firefighter. I know he's in the services. Well, Fear the Finn, our San Jose Sharks fan, says, Bob, if Shea Weber is a Hall of Famer, in your opinion, then Brent Burns must be as well. Interesting. I'd have to think about that. Burns has got the better offensive numbers. I think most of us would say Weber was the better defender. To the Oilers Now Prospect Report, brought to you by Scott Arthur Millwork and Cabinetry, a legacy of excellence. Make your new dream home or custom renovation a reality. You can visit scottarthurmillwork.com. We do have Tyler Wright, the Oilers Director of Amateur Scouting, coming up. But, Brendan, who are you focusing on today?
Today we're talking about Zachary Leroux, who's a left-shooting centerman, 5'11", 195 pounds, out of the Moncton Wildcats program in the Q. Ranked 30th amongst North American skaters by NHL Central Scouting, but up as high as 8th on Craig Button's list. I can't remember what he calls it, Craig's list. He is from Montreal and had 19 goals, 39 points in 33 regular season games, but he's really known for the edge that he brings, described by a scout as an enthusiastic hitter who will fight, mix it up, and get under his opponent's skin after the whistles. He is also lauded for his ability to problem solve on the ice, but, you know, obviously problems in the first place aren't great in the minds of scouts. The knock on him, the skating, and the discipline that comes with playing on the edge like he does, but everything is projecting for him to be a middle six grinder or a power forward at the next level.
We did get the correct answer, except I lost the text because it was recalibrating so quickly on the show here. I said, which Edmonton area product broke Tim Hunter's ankle in a line brawl? Oh, man, where did it go? Where did it go? Where did it go? Come on. And I can't now. Fire Stauffer. Time to... The correct answer, by the way... Oh, here it is. From Coach Al. And the correct answer is Brad Miller. That is who broke Tim Hunter's ankle. What had happened is Buffalo and Calgary had played earlier in that season, and Jamie McCowan broke Pat LaFontaine's jaw with a hit. And then they went back into Buffalo, and it was an old-school revenge fest. It was nasty. And Hunter got pinned along the boards, and then I don't even know... I know Miller was the player that was involved and engaged with him, and then all you see is Tim Hunter on the ice and Bearcat Murray with him, and Hunter was not moving. He was on the ice for a long, long time. There's an old saying in the car business, car Scott's less than Wetaskiwin. Brent Ridge Ford and Wetaskiwin committed to providing unequaled automotive excellence, resulting in completely satisfied lifetime customers. That's what it's all about. You treat people well, you get lifetime customers. If you currently have a vehicle that you're not using, payments or interest rates that are too high, a vehicle you may want to sell, refinance, or trade in for something different, visit Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the gang at Brent Ridge Ford. Give them a call, 1-877-477-3673, or visit BrentRidge.com. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. And as promised, when we come back, the Oilers Director of Amateur Scouting, Tyler Wright.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.